Negotiate. How to negotiate with the devil. Devil, in the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with the Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, is defined as evil, a lie, error, neither corporeality nor mind, the opposite of truth, a belief in sin, sickness, and death, animal magnetism or hypnotism, the lust of the flesh, which saith, quote, I am life and intelligence in matter. There is more than one mind, for I am mind, a wicked mind, self-made or created by a tribal god, and put into the opposite of mind, termed matter, thence to reproduce a mortal universe, including man, not after the image and likeness of spirit, but after its own image. The most professional negotiators in business do thorough research not only about the facts that are involved in the subject of the negotiation, but also about all of the parties that will be involved in the negotiation. It is suggested this same format should be followed when negotiating with the devil. In the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary, Noah Webster defines compromise as an amicable agreement between parties in controversy to settle their differences by mutual concessions. Following is a reference from the Bible and also references from Mary Baker Eddy's writings, which are related to the topic, how to negotiate with the devil. From the Bible, in the Old Testament, the prophet Habakkuk offers this. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast obtained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Of what was read, the one sentence is a positive statement, and that is, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. The rest of what was read are question marks. So Habakkuk is very firm about God being too pure than to behold evil, and cannot even look on it. Mary Baker Eddy, in Science and Health, Chapter 13, entitled Teaching Christian Science, under the subtitle of Study of Medicine, she states the following. when the discoverer of Christian Science is consulted by her followers as to the propriety, advantage, and consistency of systematic medical study, she tries to show them that under ordinary circumstances, a resort to faith in corporeal means tends to deter those who make such a compromise from entire confidence in omnipotent mind as really possessing all power. While a course of medical study is at times severely condemned by some scientists, she feels, as she always has felt, that all are privileged to work out their own salvation according to their light, and that our motto should be the Master's counsel. Quote, judge not that ye be not judged. In book number 10 of the 16 books authored by Mary Baker Eddy that are classified as Mary Baker Eddy's other writings, the title to that book is Miscellaneous Writings. In chapter 3, which is subtitled Questions and Answers, she states the following. Do you sometimes find it advisable to use medicine to assist in producing a cure when it is difficult to start the patient's recovery? Her answer. You only weaken your power to heal through mind by any compromise with matter, which is virtually acknowledging that under difficulties, the former is not equal to the latter. He that resorts to physics seeks what is below instead of above the standard of metaphysics, showing his ignorance of the meaning of the term and of Christian Science. The final text, which will be read, is from that same book, Miscellaneous Writings, Chapter 4, under the subtitle, Christian Science in Tremont Temple. That was a building that was used in early days to give talks on Christian Science. The scientific sense of being, which establishes harmony, enters into no compromise with finiteness and feebleness. It undermines the foundations of mortality, of physical law, breaks their chains, and sets the captive free, opening the doors for them that are bound. He who turns to the body for evidence bases his conclusions on mortality, on imperfection. But science saith to man, quote, God hath all power, end of quote. How do we negotiate with the devil? It was indicated in the first part of this recording that professional negotiators do thorough research on the topic or subject of the negotiation, as well as on all the parties that will be involved in the negotiation. Following that professional approach, which is methodical, thorough and exact, let's take a look at negotiating with the devil. Keeping in mind of what Noah Webster says, compromise means in practical application. And to restate it, it says compromise is an amicable agreement between parties in controversy to settle their differences by mutual concessions. When one is negotiating, one needs to have a clear thought on what concession they are willing to make. Because if there is no willing concession, then there cannot be any amicable agreement between the parties that are in controversy. Here is one other reference that came to thought just at this moment, and that is the scientific statement of being from Science and Health, and this is chapter 14 entitled Recapitulation. And the format of this chapter is questions and answers. Question: what is the scientific statement of being? Answer: there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Here are some thoughts that may be of value in looking at this very important scientific statement of being. The first sentence states, there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. The second statement appears to be explaining why that is the case. It says, all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. So if all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, then there cannot be any life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. And the latter part of that second sentence says, for God is all in all. So if God is all in all, then all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For Mary Baker Eddy states that mind is the source and the manifestation of all existence. The first all is a capital letter, all in all, meaning that all with a capital A is the source, which is God. And the second all is a small letter A, which means that the manifestation, which is a relative statement because it is relating what the manifestation is to humanity. In other words, it is not God. the manifestation is as we see and can relate to the source. And the same can be done with the rest of this wonderful statement. The next sentence says, spirit is immortal truth, matter is mortal error. So in other words, if matter is mortal error, then spirit must be immortal truth, because those are the opposites of matter and mortality. The next one, spirit is real and eternal, matter is unreal and temporal. So if matter is unreal and temporal, then spirit has to be real and eternal, because again, they are the opposites. And the next one, spirit is God and man is his image and likeness. Now this is a quote from the Bible, but there is one very important caveat here. The first chapter of Genesis gives us the layout, the development of the 7 days of creation. But every one of those important statements in the first chapter of Genesis up through verse 3 of the second chapter has the word let, L-E-T, and it says let this, let that. Even man, when God made man, he said, let man be made in his image and likeness. We don't have any control whatsoever about what is already real, but we have 100% control over whether or not we experience it. We cannot experience reality if we are like the people from Galilee that blocked out Jesus when he came there to perform healings. They thought of him as a boy or as a carpenter, certainly not as a person that was divine or had any special characteristics of being in alignment with God. That's why Jesus said, don't go to certain places when you do your ministry work to his disciples, because they were not receptive. A very similar thing of rejecting was in Mary Baker Eddy's experience. When she had discovered Christian Science, she thought, this is really wonderful. All the churches can now gain a more spiritual view of Christ Jesus and of God. But they rejected her because they had a dogma that they were following, and it was really a political regime based on the Council of Nicaea back in 325 AD, as is thoroughly explained by Dr. Robert C. Putnam. We have his publications on the website, which is titled 10 Bible Lessons and the Council of Nicaea and the Mystery of Ungodliness and Iniquity. And in the publication, The Council of Nicaea, he explains very thoroughly how the meeting of that council was a political structure whereby they rejected totally Jesus for what he was, and they tried to name him, and they did label him God, which put a limit on everybody and everything. For how could God be a man coming out of the womb of a woman? And how could a man be infinite, omnipresent, omnipotent, or omniscient. He went to school like other young lads. Would God go to school to learn from man? So the Council of Nicea totally confused the whole truth, and that dogma not only ushered in the Dark Ages, which lasted a long time, something like 1,500 years, but it, to this day, is the dominating philosophy of almost every church. Getting back to the scientific statement of being, here is something that one may want to experiment with. And if it works, use it. When it states in the first sentence, there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter, instead of stating the word matter, state the label that is on the problem. Wherever the word matter is used, replace it with the label of the problem throughout the whole paragraph. That's just one idea. You can utilize the same concept with other parts, and one could add additional words. Like where it says, spirit is immortal truth, matter is mortal error. One could say, and therefore there is no reason to give any power to anything but truth. Do not believe in error. That is a mistake. Just like I'm not going to believe that 3 plus 7 is 9 or 11, because it is 10. I'm not going to believe that error is real, because it's not. It's false. It's fantasy. It's a misunderstanding. Truth is what I'm going to rely on as being real. And of course, throughout the entire textbook, one could do this same kind of thing. It's a lot of fun. And it brings forth spirit. Spirit, of course, is the term for God that is used for bringing forth. Birth, as in a child. When one gains a more clear understanding about a particular topic, they are bringing forth a new thought, a new idea to themselves, to their consciousness. And that is a function of spirit, bringing forth. And we must love it. We must nurture it like a mother, caring for every detail, making sure that we live in all thought, speech, and action, things that are in alignment with the new unfoldment. The website offers a really fine tool for the research in making a thorough examination of the elements of negotiation. The title to this recording is How to Negotiate with the Devil. And Mary Baker Eddy states that we must uncover the error after thorough analysis, totally exposing it, and that is necessary to eradicate it. She states that one must explain it away with the truth, and the truth she refers to is the specific counterfact to the error. and the reference to which I refer includes 1,315 different problems, and it states the spiritual counterfact that enables one to work with to eradicate the error, the belief, so that one can cleanse consciousness in a systematic, logical manner, as Mary Baker Eddy instructs us to do. The title of that reference is Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, and it's by one of the greatest Christian Science practitioners of all time, whose name is Frederick L. Rawson. That book is like an encyclopedia. It's in alphabetical order, and also at the end there is a section on the capacities and power of man spiritually understood. That enables one to see what was discovered in Mr. Rawson's spiritual research, and it defines the spiritual function of the things that we can see about the body, such as what is the symbolism of the head or the arm or the fingers or the legs, feet, fingernails. Anything that appears to be material is really only symbolic of something that has a spiritual nature. His works, which he has shared with the world, and we're making available for free, is one of the most valuable resources one could ever have. All of his work is 100% in alignment with and supportive of Mary Baker Eddy's writings. He was as fine of a Christian Scientist as anyone can ever find. We do have a donation button if anyone feels like they want to give something back, if they've gained anything from the publications that we offer for free, or any of the ideas in the treatments. It's easy to do if one does desire to do so, but no obligation. How do we negotiate with the devil? Mr. Rawson gives us the information about 1,315 different problems, with the corresponding counterfact, and even has discovered how to heal retroactively. Another reference that is very instrumental in bringing forth spiritual advancement in our life is a book entitled Your Divinity Revealed by Helen Wright. She and her husband co-founded this organization, the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, in 1988. That book includes 7 chapters, 1 chapter for each of the 7 synonymous terms for God. We have never seen a more thorough analysis of those 7 terms, and it's highly recommended. the way one negotiates with the devil is the same way one negotiates in any business transaction. And believe me, the most important business in our experience is exactly what we discuss in this recording. And that is how to negotiate with the devil. Mary Baker Eddy states that we are confronted continuously with suggestions. On page 248 of Science and Health, under Footsteps of Truth, Chapter 8, and the subtitle is Mental Sculpture, she states, "The sculptor turns from the marble to his model in order to perfect his conception. We are all sculptors working at various forms, molding and chiseling thought. What is the model before mortal mind? Is it imperfection, joy, sorrow, sin, suffering? Have you accepted the mortal model? Are you reproducing it? Then you are haunted in your work by vicious sculptors and hideous forms. Do you not hear from all mankind of the imperfect model? The world is holding it before your gaze continually. The result is that you are liable to follow those lower patterns, limit your life work, and adopt into your experience the angular outline and deformity of matter models. To remedy this, we must first turn our gaze in the right direction and then walk that way. We must learn about all the parties in the negotiation and all the facts that are attendant upon the topic at hand, the subject of the negotiation. We are given the tools. We are given the method. Mary Baker Eddy states on page 146 in Science and Health, Chapter 6, Science, Theology, and Medicine, under the subtitle Reduction to System. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Now, what is disease? A dis-ease, any discord, no matter what label you give it, it is a dis-ease. This is a very comprehensive and all-encompassing statement. The system to which she refers is exactly what we explain on the website. It's included in the treatments, which are in MP3 audio format. Many of them include references that are used in the treatments from the Bible and Mary Baker Eddy's writings and the writings of other very fine, successful Christian Science practitioners and teachers, and those who are teaching other teachers. This is really a lot of fun because, number one, we can research the absence of foundation for there being a devil at all. Remember that the primary tool of the devil, or the belief of a devil, is deception. Deception. Number one, it tries to mock truth. It tries to look like truth. Number two, it tries to act like truth. Number three, it tries to convince one that it is the only avenue for one to pursue. A second thing about a belief in the devil, in addition to being deceptive, is it is a belief of constant activity, as quoted from Mary Baker Eddy, stating that it is always there. We are bombarded with all of these beliefs continuously. Its advertising program is unbelievable. If one looks at a commercial that is unrelated to vision, one will see, if they observe, that there are very few people that are without eyeglasses. It tries to normalize that defective vision is standard. I was going to watch a movie at Christmas time, and I checked three different movies that were recently made, thinking it would be fun. And I started to watch each one of the three. The first one I chose, there was someone that was severely disabled that was invited to come to a Christmas party. And the thought was to be sympathetic for someone that was disabled. That's a human trait. Empathy is not the right approach when one sees someone that appears to be disabled. The approach is what Jesus did. He translated what was visible to the perfect child of God, the perfect idea, the perfect man, the perfect image and likeness of God. And the gender has no impact. You know, whether it's supposedly male or female, and whether it's an adult or a child, doesn't matter. The point is, it's an idea of God, and that's how they must be seen, and that's what Jesus did and enabled the healing to come about. He didn't see a dead person as dead. He saw them as sleeping, and they needed to be awakened from that belief. A blind man he didn't see as blind. He said, "Do you want to see? Do you have faith that you can see? Do you think it's possible to overcome this problem?" The so-called devil works in very deceitful, hidden, mysterious ways. By mystery, I mean it tries to not be discovered. But it's easy to spot it if one is aware of its operations. Mary Baker Eddy has a chapter just on that called Animal Magnetism Unmasked, Chapter 5, in Science and Health. all of the tools are available. What a tremendous advantage over those who came before us before these tools were available. Imagine living in the 1700s or before the printing press was invented. I think that was around 1500 or so. And the copy machine. Originally, books were primarily available to those that were affiliated with the church hierarchy. Upon the population as not being educated enough to understand it. Talk about suppression and oppression. One can get a very confident atmosphere for their consciousness established once they learn how a so-called devil operates. Learn the facts. Learn how the negotiators operate. Then one can have a successful conclusion without compromising anything. Wentworth Winslow, another one of the finest practitioners of all time, he brought one individual back to life after he was deemed to be dead. He was working on the case when it occurred, and he kept on working as if nothing happened. And it didn't, because death is an unreality. It's a misconception of life. It's thinking that God is limited. The same way Mr. Rawson was able to heal retroactively in over 500 cases. He realized that nothing was impossible to God, and that God was not limited to time. And of course, many people have proven that God is not limited to space, because remote healing has been taking place for a long time. In fact, in most cases, it's probably better if one is not in the presence of the one that is having the problem. If one is trying to be of assistance to bring about a healing, because the appearance is very easy to absorb into one's thoughts. So that has to be cleansed before one can even begin to do the work. Negotiate with the devil from a standpoint of strength. Mary Baker Eddy states that the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. And I believe what she means is it opens the door to reflect the power of God. Because we don't own anything as an individual. Nothing. God is the only owner of anything. He is continuously projecting out his qualities. They are in everything that exists, that is real. All we have to do is open thought to recognize them, appreciate them, accept them, let them be our guide in all thought, speech, and action. And let the power of the qualities do the work. Our effort has to be to get rid of limited thought, to cleanse out from our consciousness whatever is unlike God, so that our consciousness is God-like. We need to have the consciousness of the Christ, which is the God consciousness. Christ means translating. Translating from what appears to be a visible material sense of things to the spiritual reality. That's our duty. In fact, that's our purpose on this earth, to glorify God. Translate from what appears to be the situation to the reality, as it states in the first chapter of Genesis through verse 3 of chapter 2. That's our duty. It's easy to see the procedure for negotiating with the devil, but doing it is where the work is. Mary Baker Eddy wrote a letter to one of her students on vision. That's on the website under the category of articles under Mary Baker Eddy's index. And she says, can you focus no matter what comes your way? That's the big question. Can we focus? Focus on the truth. Focus on what God is and what man is as God's reflection, and see it all as one, all as one thing. God cannot be God unless God has a manifestation. What is God going to be a God of? And what is a manifestation going to be without a God? Manifestation. We're a man that is the manifestation of God. God includes God's manifestation. We are included in God. There's nothing in between. It's a direct connection. Absolutely fixed connection. And all we have to do is realize that, and we have to fake it till we make it. If we don't understand it clearly, state it anyway. It's like seeing fake news. Eventually you believe it. And unfortunately, that's the situation in today's world. Like Mary Baker Eddy stated, 150 years ago, we are constantly barraged with mortal mind suggestions. And that's what the news appears to be. Mortal mind suggestions only. One of the three-letter agencies of the government said, when everything the public believes is false, we have accomplished our mission. Mary Baker Eddy laid it out for us. She said, beware. It used to be that the subliminal advertising was not visible. They would flash things at a high rate of speed on television, images that they wanted to implant in consciousness, and one wouldn't have any idea it was taking place. but their subconscious would become conscious and they would take actions based on what had been implanted in their subconscious. She said that mortal mind was becoming more bold, and it would continue to do so. She was right on the money. Because now it is so bold that they don't even try to hide it. They come right out and show you pictures. Just like I was not able to watch a single movie, all three of them, I went to one, then the next one, and the next one, all three of them had the same situation. A highly disabled person that was invited to a party with the intent for people to normalize that disabilities are normal. Yes, it's a good thing to include everyone in one's mental work. Mary Baker Eddy worked for the world three times a day. In the book of Daniel, in the Bible, it indicates that Daniel prayed three times a day. Specific time is set aside from these notable characters for prayer. Daniel would not let anything interfere, even with the threat of being thrown into the lion's den. The king liked Daniel very much, but those who were jealous of Daniel influenced the king to stick with his law, which was that no one could worship anyone but him. Again, something that he was erroneously influenced by the population to do, who was jealous of Daniel. When Jesus was before Herod, before he was crucified, he was trying to justify what the crowd wanted to do, and that was to kill Jesus. And he asked the crowd for the decision on guilt or innocence, to kill him or to not kill him. We all know what happened. A belief of the devil is at work all the time. It was at work with Daniel. It was at work with Jesus. It was at work with Mary Baker Eddy. Her own church hated her. I don't mean all the people, but the ones that were making the decisions. Even those in her household were very quiet after she passed on. They did not stand up and fight the church. They were not even the few that were standing at the cross of Jesus. They didn't even represent that symbol. And they lived with her, some of them for 15 years or more. She trained them like they were her own family. She taught them all they needed to know. But at the end, they were not there. They yielded to the threats by the church. How do we negotiate with the devil? With strength, perseverance. Don't give an inch. Stand firm. Stand porter at the door of thought. And let speech and action follow with a strong guard, protecting consciousness, supporting consciousness. Every sense needs to be supporting the theme. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God is all there is. There is nothing but God. We are here to glorify God. And we need to start and end with all thought, speech, and action about everyone, everything being a reflection of the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Amen.